Dan Bounji Gurunjo Ranga Sula Prabhupad Ki Jai. Okay. So Om Maganat Miranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Minitam Yenatas Mai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we are celebrating Gaura Purnima, which is different from Guru Purnima. Guru Purnima occurs in the middle of the summer usually. And Guru Purnima is some people celebrate that as in honor of their guru, whoever it may be. But Prabhupada said, as far as celebrating the guru's appearance day, it should be on the individual guru's appearance day, not just on one day a year. So it's really not followed by Krishna conscious people so much, except it's Sanatana Goswami's disappearance day. So it's an important day in that respect. So Gaura Purnima means the Purnima in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And he appeared not only with the Purnima there, that is the full moon, but it was the time of an eclipse. So when I say an eclipse, very inauspicious. But the eclipse, what happens during the eclipse, of course, is they close the temples down and everybody goes to the sacred rivers and they chant, and you don't eat during the eclipse, and you're supposed to throw out any food that is being kept. So you don't take it afterwards, because the eclipse is considered very inauspicious. It's the prominent presence of Rahu, who was not such an auspicious entity. Anyway, but during Lord Chaitanya's appearance, there was an eclipse, and it was auspicious because everyone was chanting Hare Krishna to try to counteract the effects of the eclipse. So that was a trick by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tricked people continually to chant Hare Krishna in many, many different ways. And we'll tell some of the stories as we continue talking about his appearance. So first we offer our obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So this is the generic way of offering obeisances to the spiritual master. And there's a specific way. Generic, of course, is this verse, Om Maganat Nirandasya Gananjana Shlaka Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Offer my obeisances to my spiritual master, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blind in the darkness of ignorance. And so the specific way, of course, is Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Budhale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nivarsesha Sunyavadi Paschatadeja Tarn. So offer obeisances to the lotus feet of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, so dear to Krishna. And he's come to carry out the message of Lord Chaitanya Gauravani Pacharni in this Western world, which is so filled with impersonalism and voidism, which is being taught in the name of religion. They teach impersonalism and voidism. And so he's carrying out the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then you have the verse to Srila Rupa Goswami, who is the original, under Lord Chaitanya, original preceptor in our sampradaya. And therefore we are known as Rupa Nugas, and that mantra is Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhuttam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. That when will Rupa Goswami, who is established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? So these are the obeisances we offer before talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, and so each and every yuga has different incarnations. Now, there are different colors, white, red, black, and yellow. In Dwapara Yuga, what color is the incarnation? What's his name? You can't look at that. Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. Sometimes there's some arguments. People say that God is only Tri Yuga. But in the Kali Yuga, he's like a chana or hidden avatar, not commonly known to everyone. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Lord Chaitanya, only appears once in every day of Lord Brahma. So we're very fortunate that that time occurred just a little more than 500 years ago. And so that it occurs right after the appearance of Lord Krishna, which occurs only once in the day of Lord Brahma, on this earth planet. So imagine how fortunate we are. We're on the planet where Krishna appeared, and we're on the planet where Lord Chaitanya appeared, and we're on the planet where Srila Prabhupada appeared. We got a lot of mercy. And still we're not accepting it. That's the problem. So there's the internal purpose for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, and there's also the external purpose. Let's talk about the internal purpose first. That means his own purpose, that Krishna is looking at Radharani and seeing, she loves me so much. I want to understand that love. And also, he's looking at her as his greatest devotee, and he's thinking, Radharani and my devotees are enjoying more than me. What's this? Not fair. So therefore, I want to enjoy like my devotees. Now, sometimes we find impersonalists, they want to become God. But actually, to serve God is more enjoyable than being God. Because if you're God, you got to worry about everybody. And if you're God's devotee, you let him do the worrying. You understand the difference? Isn't it a lot easier? You know, who wants to be in charge of everybody? Like right now, I'm making plans to just gradually reduce my management overload. So becoming God is insane. So Krishna is also thinking the same. You know, everybody's worshiping me, but my devotees, they're enjoying like anything. And I want to see myself from their perspective, and I want to understand their love for me. And the only way I'm going to understand it is by role-playing. Sometimes even in psychology, they have this thing called role-playing, where you take someone else's role, and you can understand their particular mentality. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. In one sense, Krishna and Radharani have appeared as one, or Krishna has appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So there's many biographies of Lord Chaitanya, and actually there's many verses in the Vedic literatures, which we're not going to get into right now, that verify that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's verses that predict that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be born in Kali Yuga. His mother's name will be Mother Sachi, and his father's name Jagannath Mishra. So this can all be verified, because it's not that we accept anyone as an incarnation of God. Nowadays, of course, not only in India, but even in places like Korea, they accept people as incarnations of God just because they happen to have some mystic powers or whatever, some charisma. I mean, so many people are accepted like that, and they're worshipped, and there's temples, and they even have temples to rats in India, isn't it? And so we accept someone as God because of Shastra, Guru Shastra Sadhu, because as Arjuna says in the Gita, what is it? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam, Parasham, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adidev, Maham, Vibhu. It's in the 10th chapter of the Gita, where Arjuna says, I accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Abode, Ahustvam Rishi Atsarve, Sevar Shir Narada Siddhap, because Narada Muni has accepted you, Vyasa, Asita, Devala, and all these other great personalities. So there's a standard for accepting someone as God. And all these gods that are running around today, they don't fulfill any of these standards. They can't even fly around the room. I mean, they can't even prevent their own self from getting old. They have gray hair and bald and everything like that. So they're definitely not God. So we accept Lord Chaitanya as God because of this objective evidence. Not subjective evidence. Not just because it feels good to me that he's God, but because there's objective acharyas, writing in the Vedic literatures, symptoms, all sorts of stuff like that. So there's many biographies written about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is mentioned here. Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was sometimes considered the incarnation of Veda Vyas, wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which deals mostly with the earlier life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then you have Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, who dealt with things that Vrindavan Das Thakur didn't mention specifically, and also went into greater depth with the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the book that Prabhupada concentrated more on was the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it deals more with the philosophical understanding of Lord Chaitanya, because that's very important to have a philosophical basis, not simply be sentimental, as Prabhupada would say, that religion without philosophy is what? Anyone know? Sentimental. And philosophy without religion is what? Mental speculation or dry speculation. So that was Prabhupada's famous quote, which is true. So you need both things together to actually have bona fide spiritual life. And Prabhupada presented a summary of the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And so in the Lord's early life, as described here, was noted down by Murari Gupta, who's considered to be an incarnation of Hanuman. And his diary was passed down to the later biographers through Swarup Damodar Goswami and other personalities so that Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishnadas Kaviraj could elaborate on Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So Lord Chaitanya appeared, as we mentioned, before, during a lunar eclipse. And it was in 1486, the year, that is the year that we're normally accustomed to, 1486. I remember celebrating the 500th anniversary. Was anyone in Mayapur during the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya? And there was an eclipse that year, too. Do you remember that? It was very interesting. And we all went to the Ganges and were bathing that evening, celebrating the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we were chanting, not only bathing. Chanting was going on, too. Lord Chaitanya's parents were named Jagannath Mitra and Sachimanta. They're his eternal parents. And his name in the beginning was Nimai Pandit. Does anyone know why he was called Nimai Pandit? He was born under the neem tree. The neem tree is, what's special about the neem tree? It's antiseptic. It gets rid of ghosts and all that other stuff. You know, subtle living entities as well as gross living entities. Like bugs. I mean, bugs are gross living entities. Not anyway, like ghosts and all other things like that. The neem is a natural antiseptic. It's just being discovered in the Western world today as a natural antiseptic, and also gets rid of the bugs in your house. And it's very, very nice. You find products with neem oil nowadays. So Lord Chaitanya was born under the neem tree. And there's the deities of his parents, Sachimanta, Jagannath, Mishra. And in the Bhagavatam, we find his mission that is being described. Krishna Varna Tvisha Krishnam. In the age of Kali, Krishna doesn't come in the blackish form. I'm giving a paraphrased interpretation of this verse. Tvisha Krishna. But he comes chanting Krishnayati. He comes chanting Krishna's names. And he comes with his associates, Sango Pagdastra, and his weapons. Astra also means weapons. But not with the Sudarsan Chakra. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu almost used the Sudarsan Chakra on Jagai and Madai, but he was stopped by Lord Nityananda. But he comes with the weapons of chanting and the Yuga Dharma of the Sankirtan movement. And he's accompanied by his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Anyone who is intelligent, Sumedasa, the opposite of that is Durmedasa, means has bad brain, or was it Gobar brain or something like that. You know, cow dung brain. That's actually what they say in India, isn't it? He has cow manure in his brain. So if he doesn't worship Lord Chaitanya, so you want to have a good brain instead of cow manure or cow stool in your brain. And he appeared in Shidam Mayapur, and there's the temple at his birthplace, and there's the neem tree, or at least that neem tree grew from one of the branches of the original neem tree. In this temple, this place was discovered by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Previously, everyone was saying that Lord Chaitanya appeared on the other side of the Ganges in a place called Navadvipa, the city of Navadvipa, or near Navadvipa. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur discovered this place by his research and by his intuition and by Lord Chaitanya revealing it to him. And his guru, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, corroborated this by being brought to the spot and dancing in ecstasy, even though he was like 125 years old when he was brought to the spot. He was being carried in a basket, the guru of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was being carried in a basket by his servant Bihari because he couldn't walk, at least a lot. But when he saw Lord Chaitanya's appearance place and he recognized it, he jumped out of the basket, and he was very, very tall, and started dancing in ecstasy, even at 125 years of age. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place. And right near that, we have our ISKCON Mayapur, where Lord Chaitanya enacted his pastimes. And the whole road is called the Bhakti Siddhanta Road, Bhakti Siddhanta Marg. And in this ISKCON Mayapur, we've installed these very large deities of Panchatattva. You can't really see how large they are. I guess you can in comparison to the people. This was Srila Prabhupada's instruction that in the temple, in the Vedic planetarium, which we'll see at the end of this presentation, there would be these giant deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the rest of the members of the Panchatattva. Panchatattva means five truths. There's Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, and when Krishna appears, he appears with his associates, such as Lord Nityananda, who's on our left, and that's Balaram. Balaram Hoilindatai, because when Krishna appears, Balaram comes with him. And then also there's a Dwaitacharya, who is Sadashiva. Then you have Gadadhar. Gadadhar was on the right. That is Srimati Radharani appearing as Lord Chaitanya's associate. And then also Shivas, who is Nardamuni. And Nardamuni represents the Jiva soul. Gadadhar Pandit represents the Shakti of the Lord, the internal potency of the Lord. And the other three members are Vishnu Tattva, directly God manifests in different ways. So that's Panchatattva. These deities were installed several years ago. I was there for the deity installation. They'll be put in the temple, which you'll see a picture of. And so, these are Prabhupada's words. I'll just read Prabhupada's words. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, but he played the part of a devotee. When people addressed him as God, he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. In many, many ways he exhibited this, sometimes in universal form, and in other manners he exhibited his godly nature. So the meaning of Lord Chaitanya is the living force in eternity. And Lord Chaitanya got that name, Chaitanya, when he took sannyasa initiation. Before that, he was known as Nimai Pandit. So we have to understand there's two parts of Lord Chaitanya's life. One, from the age up to the age of 24 years, and then from 24 up to 48. 24 to 48, or 25 to 48, he was sannyasi. And before that, he was grahasta, or actually child. When he's a child, he's not a grahasta. So there's two parts in his life. So the second aspect, or the second part of the pastimes, he was called Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he taught the sublime doctrine, and this will take a little while for us to understand. It's called Achincha Beda Abheda Tattva, which means something simultaneously one and different. So I'll explain that in terms of the Vaishnava Siddhanta. So let's explain that in terms of the soul, for example. That some people will say we are completely God, right? They say, you're God, I'm God, we're all God, thank God. So, so that's not a Achincha Beda Abheda Tattva, we're one with God. And other people will say, we're of a completely different nature. That's called dualism, extreme dualism. We're a completely different nature. You know, there's God up there, and just, you know, we just came out of the dust, basically speaking. We were created at one point. You know, many people have that philosophy, that we were created at one point and will cease to exist at another point. We're not eternal. We're not co-eternal with God. Although the Vedas tell us, in the Shveta Svatara Upanishad, nuccha nichanam chetanas chetanam eko vahonam yoga dadati kamam, there's one supreme eternal, there's many plural eternals. So let's explain, because I'm going to unpack all this. So simultaneous oneness, we're the same as God in nature, as a drop of water in the ocean. Let's say if all the ocean was homogeneous, that means the same. I mean, I know the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean have different constituents. And sometimes there's more salinity or less salinity. But let's say you have a big body of water in the ocean. You take a drop of the water, it's a sample. It's a chip off the old block or off the old drop. So it's a sample. It has the same nature. And but it's different because it's only a little drop. In other words, there's quantity and quality. You understand? Quantity and quality. Or another example sometimes is given is part and parcel. Like the hand is one with the body, because it's part of the body. It's part of the body, but it's parcel. It has its own separate identity. But it only functions nicely, you know, only, let's say the hand, only functions properly when it's connected to the body. So right now, because we don't understand the simultaneous oneness with the Lord, we just think we're different. Then it's like the hand being separate from the body. Like that TV show, The Thing. I don't know if any of you saw it. Anyway, that's old. Yeah. It shows how old. It shows my age. I'm sorry. So, you know, The Thing. You know, it's like, it's frightening. You know, see a hand like that, you know, it's coming at you. So, let's take the hand. The hand wants to. Okay, so here's some nice pizza for the hand. Can't enjoy, right? So the only way the hand can actually really fulfill its purpose and enjoy is if it takes the pizza or whatever else, you know, vegetarian. So, and it takes it and puts it in the mouth, feeds the body. So unless the hand understands its oneness, if the hand is only thinking, of course the hand don't think, but this is just something for you to understand. So if the hand is only thinking that it's different, then, you know, it just really can't fulfill its purpose and can't be happy. So by serving the whole, then it gets nutrition in the hand, you know, through the blood and everything like that, then the hand actually becomes properly situated. So this is simultaneous oneness and difference, called the Chincha Veda Veda Tatma, which is a further, higher understanding than the philosophy taught by Ramanujacharya, which is Vishishta Dvaita, which is purified oneness, which is very similar. Anyway, I don't want to get into the details of that. But so that's a Chinchaveda Tattva. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this principle as his Siddhanta. Hmm. And he also taught, there is no other way to the Lord. So, but not in a sectarian way. Not that, you know, this is it, you know, otherwise the hell with you. So he didn't teach that. He taught there is only one way, which is chanting the Lord's names, which is non-sectarian, because Lord Chaitanya said, as we'll read later on in Shikshastika, that you have many, many names, Krishna. So in each culture, there's different names. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great Acharya, stated that when a Vaishnava, follower of Lord Chaitanya, goes into any sort of religious organization, sees them worshiping God, he feels great happiness, thinking they may be worshiping in a different way than I'm accustomed to, but they're worshiping the same God, there's one God. So it's not sectarian. So when we talk about the no other way, then there's no other way other than chanting God's names. You can chant Allah, you can chant Jehovah, Yahweh, Nrsimha, Krishna, Korma, any of the bona fide names for God. Of course, there is some difference in one sense between different names of God, because when you chant a specific name of God, it indicates a specific aspect of God, and that's the aspect you connect with. I mean, for example, if you're chanting Nrsimha, 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 you'll connect with that aspect of the Lord, protecting his devotees, exhibiting his transcendental anger, like that. Or if you chant Korma, 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 which is pretty good, because Korma is actually the presiding deity of the nectarian ocean of Bhakti Ras. So there's different moods in chanting different names of God, but they're all names of the same person. There's also primary and secondary names of God. So Lord Chaitanya was fond of quoting this shloka, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kano Nisteva, Kalo Nisteva, Gatiranyata. In this day and age, chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name three times. Kalo Nisteva, Nisteva, Nisteva. There is no other way, no other way, no other way than chanting the holy name. So he was very specific about this no other way business, but not sectarian. And we see every religion, they glorify God. Even in the Psalms in the Bible, there's many indications that one should glorify the Lord with cymbals and chanting loudly. And so this is Sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan. As I mentioned before, his early life, he was a householder, but it says here he didn't get any respect or get respect to the householder. Not that Lord Chaitanya wanted respect for himself. Not like us. It's like we just had a meeting and there was some mention like, let's find someone who doesn't want any respect. And I said, well, you're going to look a long way to find such a person. You have to get, give me his telephone number if you find him. So Lord Chaitanya didn't want respect for himself, but people weren't listening to his teachings. as he wanted to. So in India, naturally, a sannyasi gets respect. I mean, just by changing the dress, they get respect. That's the culture. And so Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. This is also an esoteric reason, but the exoteric reason is so the people would listen to the teaching, he'd be taken seriously. And then the esoteric or hidden reason is because Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, so he would exhibit this extreme mood of Vipralamba Seva, which was Radharani's highest mood in relationship to Krishna in Vrindavan, when Krishna left Vrindavan. And then he worshipped, he stayed mainly during his final pastimes in Jagannath Puri, which is a place where Krishna is feeling separation from Vrindavan. That's why Lord Jagannath looks like he does with big eyes, because he's remembering Vrindavan feeling ecstatic. And then during the Ratha Yatra, there's this symbolic taking of Lord Jagannath, Krishna, who is Lord Krishna, back to Vrindavan. So he took sannyas from Keshava Bharati, and as I mentioned, he stayed, HQ means headquarters, generally at Puri, but he traveled. Here's a picture of Jagannath Puri. This temple is very ancient. And on the way there, he stopped at this temple called Shirachora Gopinath Temple. This is a deity that it was actually stole sweet rice for Lord Chaitanya's grand spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. And that's another story. You can read it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Madhavendra Puri, not that he just wanted to eat sweet rice. You know, some people think, oh, he wanted to eat sweet rice. No, he wanted to cook the same preparation for his deities. With his deity of Gopal, which was in Vrindavan on Govardhan Hill. So he wanted to cook that, so he wanted to taste it. So, but he felt embarrassed that he wanted to eat before the offering was made. And so he hid out in the marketplace, and the deity arranged for the deity's servant, to bring this sweet rice to Madhavendra Puri, because the deity had hidden the sweet rice under his cloth. And so the deity had to be woken up in the middle of the night to take sweet rice to Madhavendra Puri. So that's a Shirachori Gopinath story, which is right, that's in Ramuna, which is on the way from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri. I've spent some time there myself. The sweet rice there is definitely sweeter than nectar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped Lord Jagannath there. And the first time he went to Jagannath Puri, he fainted in ecstasy, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was considered to be the appearance of Brihaspati, took him into his house after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainted. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very worried about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he thought, here's this young sannyasi. How is he going to keep his sannyas? He's only 24 years old, and as you see, he's extremely attractive. Generally, it's mentioned that sannyasi should not be good-looking. Because it's dangerous. It's better they're, you know, a little... Anyway, you understand. So, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely attractive. You know, his arms reached down to his legs. And as you see, lotus eyes and a glow. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was necessarily very worried about him. So he said, I'll reinitiate you and give you sannyas again and teach you Vedanta. So what happened is that he tried to teach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu impersonal Vedanta for 7 days. And after that, he asked Lord Chaitanya, he said, have you understood? You didn't ask any questions. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't understand anything you said. But I understand Vedanta very well. And then he proceeded to explain specifically this verse called the Atmarama verse from the Bhagavatam. And he completely demolished Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's understanding. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then became basically a disciple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he composed this wonderful verse that glorified Lord Chaitanya. One of his most famous verses, Vairagya Vidya Nijabhakti Yoga Shiksharta Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhir Yas Tam Ham Prabhadye, that I surrender unto Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has come to teach renunciation and knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali. So, very famous verse. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became one of his most ardent followers. And there was this quote that Shiva said to Devi, in the Kali Yuga, I shall preach the Mayavad philosophy, which is nothing but clouded Buddhism in the garb of a Brahmana. So, that was the philosophy that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was following before, under the guise, the instruction of Shankaracharya. And so here's Here is actually the verse I just quoted. Let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has appeared now as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the ocean of mercy and has now come to teach us material detachment, learning, and devotional service to himself. One of the most famous verses glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya, while he was in Jagannath Puri, was always in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani and always pined. That's a word you may not understand. He always hoped for, or in his consciousness, he was just like crying for Lord Krishna, feeling separation. So generally he spent 24 years, actually during that 24 years he traveled in South India, went to Vrindavan one time, and sometimes when he was traveling through the jungles, he did things that none of us could do. He got the lions and tigers and the bears and the snakes, the deers and the elephants and other jungle animals to embrace each other and kiss even. You can't see that picture. It's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very small. And the deer and the lions, they're just smooching. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to do that. Prabhupada said, we cannot do that, but at least we can get human beings to chant Hare Krishna. Oh, here's a bigger picture. That's right. Here's the deer. They would approach Lord Chaitanya when he was in Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya was very strict. One of his disciples, Junior Haridas, just made a little mistake that, you know, basically, from our perspective, practically wasn't even a mistake at all. And then he was excluded from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association because he was a sannyasi. Specifically, Lord Chaitanya was very strict with sannyasis. He gave instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami that a sannyasi's duty is not to wear fine clothing, not to think of women even in dreams, not to eat opulent food, to always think of Krishna within your heart of hearts. So at least I'm not wearing opulent clothing. So Lord Chaitanya also said to people, you don't have to take sannyas like me to become Krishna conscious. He quoted this verse from Lord Brahma, Nastani Sita Shudikatam Tan Ban Manodir, that just remain wherever you are and just chant the Lord's holy names. People sometimes wanted to follow him and give up their families, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade them to do that. He said, just stay, understand you're a servant of the Supreme Personality of God. And Lord Chaitanya was also a social reformer. Because in those days, and even today to a certain extent, there's this real class distinction, which we call casteism. And, you know, they're untouchables, and even if they stepped on your shadow, if you happen to be a brahmana, that was it for them. You know, they beat them or something like that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented this true equality between all living entities, regardless of what sort of past they had or their birth or color of skin or anything like that. He actually said, one who knows the science of Krishna, this famous verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi Shudakinanoi, Ye Krishna Tatva Veda Se Guru Hoy. One who knows the science of Krishna, it doesn't matter what background he comes from. He also quoted this other verse, Aho Bhattiswa Pachato Guryan Jadri Vagre Vartate Namatubhyam. One who actually chants Krishna's names, how wonderful it is, even if he comes from a swapacha, a dog-eater family, he's considered to be surpassed all the Brahminical procedures. So he accepted, Lord Chaitanya accepted as the acharya of the holy names, a person born in another religion, the Muslim family, which at that time was considered, you know, completely an outcast. But that was Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, incidentally, was Lord Brahma. And we all know the story how Lord Brahma stole the cows, the calves and the coward boys. You know that from Krishna book? So as a result of that, he wanted to get purified, and he was told by Krishna, you have to appear in Kali Yuga and be the Namacharya. I don't know if any of you heard that story. So he's also considered sometimes to be an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. So Haridas Thakur was the main teacher of the holy names. He would chant 3 lakhs of names a day. That means 300,000 names, which is basically 192 rounds. That's a lot. I mean, I'm happy if I can chant 1 lakh of names a day. And some of you are happy if you can chant 1/4 lakh. At 16 rounds. So, Lord Chaitanya also instituted one of the first non-violent civil disobedient movements when he was forbidden to chant publicly with his associates. He went to the Qazi And they had this whole parade with millions, or at least tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to Qazi's house. And the Qazi surrendered to him. He didn't, you know, he didn't hurt the Qazi. Of course, the previous night he had hurt the Qazi is Lord Nrsingadev. Lord Nrsingadev took care of the violence. Because the previous night the Qazi had had a dream. Qazi is like the Muslim ruler. He had had a dream. Lord Nrsingadev appeared to him. How could you have broken the Mridanga drum and interfered with my sankirtan? And I will destroy you. And he just tore at the Qazi's chest. And so the next day, of course, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, the Qazi was very peaceful. Very obedient. You know, he was scared, witless, as they say. And he even showed his chest. He said, Lord Chaitanya, this is what happened to me. Or actually, Nimai Pandit, this is what happened to me. So, anyway, he nonviolent, but Lord Nrsingadev was not nonviolent with him. For civil disobedience, and that was the Qazi story I just told. Whoops. Yeah. And then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he defeated many Mayavadi impersonalists. And this one famous person was Prakashananda Saraswati. It's not Prabhunanda Saraswati, that was a great devotee, but Prakashananda Saraswati in Benares. And even got the Mayavadis to chant. And he had many, many kirtans. And so, we're almost finished with the presentation, but Lord Chaitanya basically left us with these eight verses, which are called the Shikshashtika. Shikshashtika, which means the eight teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I'll read them. And each of them indicate a different level of devotional service. It's like from one level to another of devotee. Of course, we accept them all, no matter what level you're at. But they rise to a higher and higher point of surrender. Because as Krishna says in the Gita, in the 18th chapter, Sarva Dharma Purichaya, you have to surrender to me. So Lord Chaitanya teaches us practically how to surrender to Krishna. You know, Krishna doesn't, in the Gita, he gives some directions like man mana bhava mad bhakto, but it's not as specific as you would like. But Lord Chaitanya is very specific, and his followers, like Rupa Goswami, are even more specific, publishing books like the Nectar of Devotion and Upadeshamrita, and even finally the Ujjala Nilamani. So I'll just read this very quickly. Glorious to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life. A repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. I mean, we can give a whole class even on one verse, so this gives you a taste. The second one is, oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. Oh my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by chanting your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no taste or no attraction for them. And then here's the instruction. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. The next one is, Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. So you see how this gets to more and more surrender as you proceed. The acharyas have actually connected each verse with different levels of devotional service, and even connected each verse with different times of the day of Krishna's pastimes, the Ashtakaliya Leela. But that's a little too technical for us right now. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your holy name? O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. And finally, this is the ultimate surrender to Krishna. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly in his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the most munificent avatar, as described by Rupa Goswami. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Dasena Maha. He was giving freely to everyone pure devotional service. And he freed such people as Jagai and Madai from their entanglement. They were drunken bums. They had so much sins that even Yamaraj couldn't keep track of the sins. And they even attacked Lord Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya turned them into great devotees, Jagadananda and Madhavananda. And he accepts all kinds of sinful persons on one condition: they promise not to do the same thing again. And you see that in Lord Jesus' pastimes too. When he dealt with that prostitute, he said, "Sin no more." After being spiritually initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, one should give up all the sinful activities. There's four types that people vow: no meat eating, no meat, fish or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. That means the lottery too. And he has many followers. We're not going to read this right now. Many, many followers, Goswamis who established Krishna's holy place in Vrindavan, wrote transcendental literatures, installed deities, and established the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness. There's a picture of the six Goswamis who were his principal followers, and they lived in the Braj area. Nana Shastra Vichara Naikinipado Sadharma Samstapakovu. They were very educated personalities, very wealthy personalities before, and they spent their time mainly establishing Satdharma, eternal religious principles, perusing all the revealed scriptures. And this is what is described here. And the Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is a universal religion, and it has the potency for spreading all over the world. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took it up, and his great disciple Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada took it up. And that's it for the presentation. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So, I hope I didn't go too long. So now we're going to see something very nice about ISKCON. Prabhupada instructed the devotees to develop this temple called the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. People may ask, why a planetarium? When I was young, I would go to the Hayden Planetarium in New York. Anyone's ever been there? Yeah, Hayden Planetarium. And it was I liked it a lot. Yeah, I would sit there and see all the stars. Remember it? It was fun. So Prabhupada wanted this to show that the Vedic literatures not only deal with numinous subject matters, that you mean spiritual subject matters, but phenomenal subject matters too. Things of this world, they're perfect in all respects. So you'll see how this temple has been structured to show the Vedic perspective, even of the planets and how they revolve in different ways. It's very a wonderful film. I was overawed when I saw this film. So we'll start the film now, and then I'll have to turn on the volume as soon as it starts. Let's see. Uh-oh. Oh, here it is. Fine.
Narada, the queen will convene, and then he will personally appear in the Kali Yuga to distribute his own love. In the 15th century, the Lord came as promised in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread pure love of Godhead and the congregational chanting of the holy names throughout India. The Lord's closest associate, Sri Nityananda, predicted that an astonishing temple would one day manifest at Mayapur, the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya, from where the Lord's mission would be broadcast all over the world. In the late 19th century, the pioneer of the program to distribute Lord Chaitanya's teachings outside India, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, received a spiritual vision of a wonderful temple where people of all nations would gather to chant the Lord's The Thakur's illustrious son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, continued the mission of his father, developing Mayapur and establishing 64 temples throughout India.
Can everybody hear?
Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada brought the teaching to Sri Chaitanya, to the Western world, establishing over 100 centers of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness across the globe. In 1970, Srila Prabhupada revealed his vision for the grand